Well, good morning. We've heard a lot of good things today, haven't we? We're Steve and Kathy Ostfold, and your church sent me out actually many years ago when I went to Romania. And then I came back after a number of years there and have been doing mission mobilization work ever since. So we try and come up. This is the one church we try and come to every year, because we feel that this is kind of our ascending church. You're a special church, and we really love you guys and are glad to be here today. So anyway, praise the Lord for how God is working. We work as mission mobilizers. So think of missions. We understand that, the Great Commission, where Jesus wants us to go out and tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. The mobilization part of it is where we try and have people be informed of what God's doing around the world and then to take action, whether that's praying or giving or going. We can't all go, but a lot of us can pray, a lot of us can give, and a lot of us can be involved in different ways in kingdom work. So I want to share just briefly about one opportunity that I have, and then Kathy will share about some of her ministry here. For the last number of years, I've been going down to Houston, Texas. They had a Hurricane Harvey that had hit there, and they had a lot of rain, a lot of damage in the Houston area. The two sites that were there with the Free Church Crisis Response ended last year. So God provided another opportunity here. Maybe you remember last fall, it was only in the news, I think, like 1 or 2 days, but a hurricane came in August up through Lake Charles, Louisiana. Lake Charles is a town of about 70-some thousand people halfway between Houston and New Orleans. So here's a 150-mile-hour hurricane coming through this region of Louisiana. Buildings were damaged, roofs were compromised, shingles were blown off. And then 6 weeks later, hurricane number two came, and that was 100-mile-hour winds, but that brought rain. So figure, here's compromised buildings, and then rain coming 6 weeks later, and further damaged homes and infrastructure. So you had COVID amidst of all of that, and the Free Church went over there to take a look, and there are no Free Churches right in that part of the country in Louisiana there, so they lined up with the Bible Church, and I had the first official team down there in January, and we were actually helping to work on the church, pulling different things off the ceiling, off the walls, doing the demo work. And anyway, it was still a mess, and there was wet insulation even from back in the fall that was still in the building in January. I had the chance to return in March, and two interesting things happened. There's a deer out there. I shouldn't even say that. I've never seen a deer when I've been in the pulpit and looking out. I guess he felt uncomfortable coming to church today, so he just wanted to be an outsider. I shouldn't have done that because everybody looked and, okay, look back here now. Yeah, this is my deer. So. Oh, my. What was I going to say? When you go on crisis response teams, it's so important to listen and remember the words of Jesus. Let me just share a verse here in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, verse 36, talking about Jesus. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then the verse after that, he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." One of the opportunities that we have through the Free Church is to go and to serve people who are in crisis, who are in difficulties. And down in Lake Charles, they had COVID, like everybody else did, plus they had two hurricanes. And every day when you're part of one of these teams, you go and you wear like a lime green T-shirt, and you walk around the neighborhood of where you're helping a homeowner. And I wasn't on this one team, but this other team was walking down this road, and one of the residents came out, and they said, what are you guys doing here? Who are you? They hadn't seen this team before. Well, we're working on this house here, and the guy said, so you're helping people? Yes. Well, my mailbox needs help. So it had been damaged through the hurricane, so the homeowner got materials. They came back the next day. They fixed the mailbox. The next neighbor said, what were you doing over there? Well, we fixed their mailbox. My mailbox needs fixing. So then they went to help on the next mailbox. That wasn't even the home they were working on. This is just from the result on prayer. So God opened up an opportunity for a team to minister to homeowners, because all of a sudden they had, think of this, a little glimmer of light that things might improve, might be fixed, all because it started with one mailbox being fixed. Another home that I was actually working on with a team, the lady's name was Rachel. It had been her grandfather's house. The floor was failing. The ceiling was wet. There was some mold in the ceiling, and we had a team there, and every day we would pray with the homeowner, and she was there with us. It was in an African-American community, and a great witness for Christ, and hopefully this lady's son will be in the WANA program come this fall in that church. But her name is Rachel. Now, why am I telling you all this? Well, I hope this coming October to go down with another team. And I only have about 3 people who've expressed interest so far. I can take 20 people, 10 men and 10 women, and if you're not doing anything in October, if you're skilled or not so skilled in building or destroying things or whatever you do, if you're young like teenager or old up into your 80s and would want to come and serve Jesus for a week, in Lake Charles, Louisiana, I would love to talk to you. I have a flyer. It talks about where we stay, the costs, the description of all these kind of things. And it's a wonderful ministry to serve Jesus Christ to people who have had enough. And why do I say enough? Well, because on May 17th, they had 12 inches of rain in 6 hours. So what had flooded before was now flooding again. What had been repaired before now needs to be repaired again. My dear.
Hi, good morning. Well, Steve and I are thrilled to be here. I don't know if he mentioned, for those of you that don't know, we live in Fergus Falls, west central Minnesota. So a little bit of a trip to come here, but we are here in the U.S., in the Midwest, and we've been stuck in the U.S. since last February. Thankfully, we were able to make our annual trip to a country in Asia where I'm involved with Global Fingerprints, which is a child sponsorship program of the Evangelical Free Church. So we try to go each year, take a team with us. We had 11 with us that year. We're so thankful that we were able to do that, but then be back here and, of course, not go during 2021, and we don't know what will happen in 2022, but the Lord knows, and his people are there, and they continue to work. And I've been reminded so much in this year that the bond of Christ, the partnerships that we share as brothers and sisters, and the power of the Holy Spirit at work is, we know God has not stopped working through this year. And I like the way he's kind of shaken us all up. You know, it's not our, oh yeah, we go every year, oh, we do this, we do that. No, but we're waiting to see what he's doing and being faithful as we trust him. Through this, I've continued to connect with the workers there, both with the children's work through the child sponsorship, also with women, anti-trafficking, training businesses. Of course, everything has kind of had to stop in those areas or be limited in what's going on. But as we've gone to churches, just sharing that, but also just being reminded of what's it all about. You know, in our world, So many needs, so many great needs, and this verse from Zechariah has touched my heart a few years back when I started focusing on the trafficking and the devaluation, the oppression of women and children. But Zechariah 7, verse 8, says, "And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. And let none of you devise evil against another in your heart." So those four things, the widow, the fatherless, could be the orphan, the fatherless, the widow, the woman that is alone and does not have help. The sojourner, that covers a lot of people in our world. Immigrants, refugees, the poor. Well, that covers another huge segment of our world. That's the quartet of the vulnerable, widow, fatherless, sojourner, and the poor. But it says, but they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. And so that's the sadness, is that as the people were being spoken to there, Zechariah is saying, this is what's happening, though. Even though the Lord is speaking to them, the Lord's saying, they're not listening. They're going about their own things. So that's that constant challenge to me. Even as we are here remaining at home, we're going to churches each week, we're sharing, but I'm not getting to be where my heart would long to be in the country that we go to, and I can't say because this is live stream. So, but the Lord is there, and the Lord is working, and thankfully, because of internet, we can continue to be in touch with our staff there. We know that it's been a hard time with COVID and lockdowns that have caused starvation and other problems, which have just increased in that, and yet it's the Christians who are reaching out, the Christians who are going and looking for those with medical needs, helping the children. Even though they can't go to school, they're still providing tutoring with studies as they're able. They're at least checking in on these kids. Somebody's paying attention to them. And in Global Fingerprints, Steve, if you'd hold up the T-shirt, there's this big giant fingerprint on there. Global Fingerprints is touching children with the fingerprints of Christ, with his love, but it's also that each child is known. We know that each one is known by God, but that known by the workers there, but then the sponsors here who are praying and giving, that they can be praying for that child. And if you sponsor a child, you may be the only other person in the world that's praying for that child. It's also one of the ways to really be involved in preventing human trafficking. Countries in Asia, especially vulnerable, large numbers of people trafficked. And so I challenge you, if you're not sponsoring a child, to consider that. I have cards back there. I have a 13-year-old girl right here, and some younger girls and some boys also. So that's the Evangelical Free Church's child sponsorship. And then the other thing with the women, some of you through the years, when I've come back here, you've been wonderful stopping by, purchasing products. This is one of our longtime products that has been made. The women sign their name on that. In a couple different countries in Asia, our nonprofit now that's grown out of the Free Church ministry is called Bridges for Justice, transforming communities one life at a time, and have really been involved in helping now, again, especially through COVID and this worldwide crisis. You know, how can we help that? But again, just that reminder, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. And let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. So thank you for letting us share. Continue to pray for us and pray for the Lord's leading as to when we can go internationally again. Steve can go to Texas, so that's good, because that helps his wanting to be involved in. Oh, now Louisiana, I'm sorry. He'd been going to Texas for 3 years. So anyway, but I think that's it.
Thank you again for your prayers and support for us. We really appreciate that. And we do have some display tables out back in the entry foyer there. Kathy has a lot of products from Asia, from a couple different countries. And then if you'd like to talk to me further about this crisis response opportunity, we'd love to do that as well. Thank you very much.
This morning be a little different. We have Andy and Amy have another update to share that I when I heard about it earlier this week, it's the sort of thing that would make a great VBS Bible story. Or a power, remember those Power for Christian Living little polls we used to get, those of you my age? It's that sort of thing that it really, that even has biblical symmetry to it that you'll appreciate as they bring it. So I wanted them to do that. Tim Ramey will be bringing an update on June and Regina and the work in the Philippines and praying for them. And we'll have the Oswalds who will also give us a greeting and an update. And between any one of them could be here and speak for a half an hour by themselves. So I'm not even going to try to preach from Isaiah today. We will divide it up amongst these three and listen. The Lord has something to say in each one, and I know you'll find it well worth listening to. God bless.
Good morning. So we wanted to update you guys. Andy has the more exciting update that Pastor is talking about, but I wanted to talk a little bit about our experience last week in Texas. You guys sent us off last two Sundays ago with prayer, and we so appreciate that, and we got home last Sunday from that trip. So thank you for your prayers. We went to Texas, and I think there's some pictures coming here that will make it a little bit more exciting. We went to Kerrville, Texas, for an orientation with the new agency, Commission to Every Nation, that we'll be going to Texas with. Africa with. We loved Texas. Texas was super great. We were like, gosh, if it all falls through, we'll move to Texas. We really had a fabulous time in Texas. But I need to preface it by saying that over a year ago, when we had to resign from Africa Inland Mission, which was devastating to us, for over a year, I have been grieving having to leave AIM, which sounds really silly, but I just couldn't get over it. And I had a lot of resentment toward the couple that, you know, the reasoning was why we had to, toward AIM for not letting us continue on, and for C10 for being the silly new organization that we had to join. Like, I just had this terrible attitude. So much so that it colored the way that we thought about C10, and we didn't want to go to Texas. We had a really terrible attitude. And when we were there, almost immediately, the Lord just spoke to me, and he said, I need you to repent, because I had this attitude in my heart that the Lord was not shepherding my family through this process. He was railroading us through it. And like, having to resign from AIM was part of that in my mind. And I was angry. And I felt like, Lord, you don't know what's good for our family. Like, AIM was good for our family, and we didn't get to have it. And now we have this silly little other organization I just had this horrible attitude. And almost immediately while we were there, the Lord said, I need you to repent. And I did, and he totally melted my heart. All of my resentment is gone. All of the grief is gone, and we feel overjoyed to be going with Commission to Every Nation. It is the perfect organization for our family. It's the perfect organization for what we are hoping to do in Tanzania, and ultimately, it's the perfect organization for us. If the Lord ever were to call us into something else, we can stay with this organization and continue to do that. So we AIM, we love to the moon and back, but we felt peaceful for the first time that, like, this was part of the Lord's plan and not something that he just let slip through the cracks. So if you want to go back to the very first picture of Andy with the hot sauce, that was the, this is Andy's version of, like, Texas paradise, is this big thing of hot sauce there at the grocery store. So you can go to the next slide. So we spent, you know, 4 days at this training. It was incredible. We met a lot of wonderful people. And one of the most important things for our family was that we heard the stories of other Christian workers whose story of waiting has been even more intense and drawn out than ours has been. And that was a real encouragement to us, because when we are in the bubble of where we are, our narrative has been like, this is so hard, this is so super hard. And then we heard stories of other people, and it was like, you know what? It's been hard for other people, maybe even harder. And that was such an encouragement to our family to stick with what we're doing. I mean, we met most of the people that that we met that are being sent out are going either to Central or South America or to some of the Asian countries. And most of the families that were going to the Asian countries, they left right before COVID for other reasons, like a wedding or a funeral, planning to be gone from the country for 3 weeks, and they're still here with young kids, living on couches, camping. I mean, just stories of worldly hardship that they're willing to endure for the call of bringing Jesus to the nations. So we were incredibly encouraged. You can go to the next slide. Our kids had a fabulous time, and this was a huge thing of prayer for us, is that our kids would feel welcomed, that they would be encouraged, and that they would be instructed in some of the realities of moving cross-culturally, and that they would connect with other kids who are doing the same thing. And C10 did not have a children's program until about 1 month ago. So up until this time, we were told, you can bring your kids, but one of your adults has to stay in the hotel with them because we don't have any children's programming for them, which was devastating to me. Well, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and the Lord, he provided. They had been praying for 5 years to find somebody to do a children's program, and a month before we went, somebody showed up. And they have now this gal here, her name is JC, a full-time support raise staff with C10, whose sole purpose is to connect with the kids who are going to be going through this process. And so this was their inaugural children's program with the orientation, and they had a blast. Sparrow wore her lanyard name tag for days after the training was done because she was so excited and so proud. And this was the one other family that we connected with. They're the family who was had been in China for 12 years, came home to go to a wedding. It's been over 18 months. Now they're trying to go to Japan. And so we just were so grateful. You can go to the next slide, to connect with them in a real way. And so this is Sparrow and Caroline pointing to the two countries that they will be moving to and serving with their families in. So we just were so blessed. You can go to the next slide. Another thing, and there's Caleb and Grant, little troublemakers. And when we were there, all of these kids had their first snow cones ever. They had never had a snow cone before, so we made it a point to go and get snow cones, and they had just a really great time. You can go to the next slide. So one of the other parts that was really encouraging to us was to meet our pastoral care couple, and I think maybe the next slide has a picture of them. So, that's us with that family that's moving to Japan. They were just great. So the way that C10 operates, they have very little oversight, but what they do have, every couple, every missionary unit is assigned a pastoral care couple, which is a husband and a wife who are assigned a region of the world, and all of the missionaries serving in that region are in their care. They come to visit at least every 2 years where you are on location, just to see how you are doing. But they are the people that we will be the most intimately connected with through C10, other than our church. So this is one thing that we love about C10, is that they feel that the main supports of the missionary should be their home sending church, which is you guys. And I was so excited to be able to say, when they said, do you have a church that you feel like can have that role? And I said, yes. And it was so awesome for us to be able to say, absolutely, like, our church is behind us 100%. They will pray for us. They will support us. So that was encouraging. You can go to the next slide. Next one. So we got to meet our pastoral care couple. This is Joni and Rob. And they will be the people that we will be connecting with to tell them all that is going on so that they can be praying for us. And we were so, so, so encouraged by them. They're just a lovely, godly couple. They served in Ireland for a number of years. And otherwise, he's a football coach, a high school football coach, and just a dear, dear couple who have a heart and a passion for Africa, and have people serving all through the country of Africa, doing all sorts of different ministries. And in fact, one of their other missionary units that they are, you know, pastoral caring, is serving with Tim Tanner's brother in a different region of Africa. So that was a cool connection as well. But so be praying for Joni and Rob, because that's a big job. And they are 100% support raised as well. But we just were so encouraged by them. And it was so good to meet them in person, to hug them, to talk to them, and to know that they will be a support for our family. So you can go to the next slide. So this is the whole group. Just one last photo to show you of all the people that you know, graduated from this orientation. There's 467 missionary units serving with Commission to Every Nation, serving in over 70 countries in the world, I think. So they are everywhere. And you know what was it? Yeah, we just were so encouraged. And most of these, almost all, with the exception of maybe one young couple, these are all seasoned veterans who have been on the field for at least 10 years. So we felt kind of in the presence of giants when we were there, and heard a lot of inspiring stories, encouraging stories. And we're just encouraged to keep on in this race that sometimes we feel like giving up. So we just were really, really encouraged. So thank you guys for praying for us. Thank you for praying for my leg. I had shared that I was having numbness. The third day in, it went away, and I haven't had any trouble since. So thank you for praying for that, and just for lifting up our family in general. So we are all cleared from C10 and ready to go. Still hoping for our September 1 departure date, and just are so grateful for you guys walking along with us in this journey. So Andy is going to give you maybe the more exciting update. It is not that the tax status is resolved. We wish that that's what it was, but this is even better than that. So I wish, we do have one picture just of the farm, but I wish we had some more specific pictures, but for safety reasons we don't. So you can go to the next slide just for a backdrop.
I'm excited to tell you this story. I also want to thank you for prayer. And the story I'm about to tell, the theme of it is really prayer, and that the Lord works, is working, and he's answering our prayers. So as a bit of a backstory, as Amy mentioned, the farm has been dealing with a court case that has been brought against them by the local tax authority. This is a court case that's steeped in injustice. The whole system is an unjust system that relies on a system of bribes. And in this situation, the charges against the farm has been to revoke the nonprofit tax status, to charge them 10 years of back taxes, and essentially bankrupt the farm. As part of this tax case, the farm has been working with a man named Mateo. Mateo works for the local tax authority. Mateo has been seeking bribes. He's been deceiving the farm. He has set up fake charities to try to get the farm to donate to them, all for his own gain. He has been perpetuating a system of injustice. About 2 weeks ago, he came to the farm staff and he said, "I'm watching you. You don't fit into my mold of what I deal with. You guys are different." And through some conversations with the farm staff, he agreed that he would go to a church service with some of the members of the staff and go to the confirmation service of a nephew. At the confirmation service, Mateo heard the presentation of the gospel, and he went forward, and he got up in front of the whole church, and he said, "I've never seen what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I want in on this." And he has committed his life to Jesus. He is now following Jesus, and KT Farm and their staff is now discipling Mateo the tax collector, who... Yeah, amen. So the man who was persecuting them is now a brother in Christ. They're discipling him, and the court case against the farm has largely shifted. The push of the case is no longer to levy taxes against the farm. The case is now rooting out the injustice that is in the tax authority. This is an answer to our prayers on two levels. One is we pray that the Lord would be glorified in this. The Lord is being glorified in this. He's drawing people to himself. And the second is that we pray that this would lead to the systems of injustice within that country falling, to a greater justice for the people of Tanzania, and it is. They have done an investigation into the tax authority. They've uncovered that they're looking to bankrupt the farm and then buy the farm. Several jobs have been lost, and the Lord is really working in this way. The case went all the way to the Prime Minister, who has promised that the thorn that was being given to KT would be taken away. That was her words. And I have to share in the same way that Amy shared that she had to repent, I had to repent. This court case was very inconvenient to me. Our timeline went out the window. All of a sudden, we were dealing with more uncertainty than we were before. It didn't fit into the mold of what I wanted. And I also, I had a lot of frustration. And I needed to repent this. I needed this to happen. God is working. God is answering prayers. In this situation, the timeline was inconvenient, and I struggled with that. And I ask him for forgiveness, and I see that he is working. He has a plan. He is drawing people to himself. And I wanted to share that with you, that we could praise God together for what he's doing.
I think what is so remarkable, and you've heard us say this over and over again, is that the farm has refused to pay a bribe. And so what we are seeing, a real life example of people walking in a Christ-like way, when it would have been so easy at any step in the last years for the farm to just say, fine, we'll pay a bribe, and then all of this would have gone away. But Mateo is going to be singing, "We will feast in the house of Zion," because people refused to pay a bribe, because they weren't inconvenienced, because they took what God's word says, like, my people can shake their hands so that there is no bribe in them, like we read in Isaiah. And because of that, Mateo noticed. It took a long time, and he was deceptive all along through that process, but he was watching. And then when the opportunity for him to hear the gospel of Jesus, then it connected in his mind, that's why these people are different, and I want to be a part of that. So we just say, Lord, if this is all that the Schmitz get to have, I mean, we pray that that's not, but like, if all that the Schmitz got in this whole journey was to hear the story of how the farm walked out their faith and Mateo came to Christ, then that's enough. And, you know, we pray that that's not the end of our story with KT Farm, and we don't think it will be, but we're just blown away and so humbled by how the Lord is working to carry out his plan of salvation for all those who are called to the ends of the earth in ways that we would never, ever expect. So praise the Lord for Mateo, the tax collector, whose life has been turned around, and all to the glory of the Father. So, yeah. So we'll just we'll pray, and then we'll hand it back. I guess we're going to stand and worship after this. So I'll ask my team to come up, and we'll lead some worship time together, and I'll close us in prayer before that. So come on up, guys. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for you. Lord, we thank you that all you ask of us is to walk humbly with you, to love justice, to love kindness, Lord, and you work through that. Thank you for planting a heart of justice and kindness in KT Farm and a determination to walk humbly with you through that, Lord, and we thank you that you have brought Mateo, Lord, and maybe more. We don't know. We don't know the end of this story, Lord, but you do, and we know that the end of it is that you will be glorified and that you will raise up people from every tongue and tribe and nation to sing your praises. Father, we love you, and we thank you that you give us, mere vessels, mere humans, dust, Lord, the ability and the opportunity to partner with you. Lord, we thank you for this church. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.